Ecclesiastes number chapter number 4 and verse number 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. I've often said, by the way, that makes sense to a laboring man. That makes sense to any of you guys that ever tried to do a job by yourself. And you say, man, if I just had another set of hands, it's not a matter of getting a second man and doing twice the job. With a helper, you can do four times the job. Two's a lot better than one. Hang siding and do it by yourself. Go try to roof and do it by yourself. And a helper can, listen, two's better than one. They have a, why? Because they have a good reward for their labor. And not only that, notice verse 10, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Okay, so if one stumbles or falls, there's somebody there. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth. For he that hath not another to help, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. Man alive, some enemy comes and attacks you, and maybe he's winning, but you've got a friend, and they're not going to let you get beat. See there? But notice here, and then it ends up by saying this, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we're gonna learn something, Lord, through divine inspiration. Lord, you moved the heart of a wise king named Solomon, and Lord, you gave him your words and your wisdom, and he jotted them down for our benefit. So, Lord, may we pay close attention as we look at this unique subject, dear Lord, and just teach some Bible philosophy tonight, and just kind of, lift up something of great importance, dear God, that we'd be reminded of and we'd work hard at. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I preached a message several years ago, and I don't remember, I'd be honest with you, whether I preached this in one message or I preached it in a series. I don't remember. It's been years and years since I did this, but I preached a series of message or one sermon called The Seven Strong Ropes of the Local Church. The Seven Strong Ropes of the Local Church. Very interesting that how many times we in the Bible see things in threes here. The Bible says there at the very end of that statement, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. If you go down to Rash Hardware and you buy rope, I don't mean twine, you buy old-fashioned rope. And you cut an end off of it and you play with it. Most of us have done that at some time in our life. Or you know what? You'll find that that's not one rope. That's actually three ropes that are bound together. And they don't triple the strength of the one rope. They add much more than three times the one rope. And if you take three of anything and bind them together, then you're going to have something stronger than the one. And you'll see in the Bible, as we've mentioned recently, that God deals a lot in threes. He's a triune God. It's amazing how he set up the Word of God and he set up his creation so that so many things come together in threes. You know, you look at something like water, and water is water, and yet it can become ice, or it can be liquid, or it can be steam. And you just follow this thing through all of God's creation. It's amazing how many things are divided into threes. I preached a message entitled, There's Seven Strong Ropes That I Believe Strengthen and Keep Strong, Help to Hold in Place and Secure the local assembly. Here's the seven strong ropes. I'll give them to you, and I won't preach it, I promise. Well, I don't know. I may get stopped on a couple of them, but you know what? We serve a threefold God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I talked a little bit this morning about the sacred doctrine of the Trinity. Don't let anybody ever talk you out of that or argue you out of that. Just take them over to the baptism of Jesus Christ and say, explain this if you would to me, please. Because all through the Bible, we see the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We're entrusted with a threefold commission, evangelism, baptism, and discipleship. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. It's great to get people saved. That's evangelism. But you know what? Then we need to teach them the importance of baptism, and then we need to disciple them into usefulness in God's work. A strong church does all three. The third one is that the church is comprised of threefold family units. I'm going to talk about that tonight. Now, the next one is strengthened by threefold generations. I'm going to talk about that tonight. I'm going to take two of the threefold cords, two of these seven, and I'm going to preach on a message entitled The Family and the Church, The Family and the Church. Number five, the church is composed of threefold groups. And if you look at the way that God designed the church, you have the pastor, and sometimes larger churches, pastors, deacons, and laity. That's the way God set the church up. Number six, we fight against a threefold enemy, the devil, the world, and the flesh. And we're equipped with the threefold message. Number seven, the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. And if we continue to preach those things, the Bible and the blood and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, those are the main messages of the church, and I preach that message. And I was preparing a message on the family and the church and was reminded. I went back and dug up through my notes and found those notes. And I want to focus in on two, watch this, two of the threefold cords. I want to preach this on this subject tonight, the family and the church. It is to the advantage of every family to strengthen their church. And it is to the advantage of every church to strengthen its families. And that makes sense to you? As the family goes, so goes the church. As the church goes, so goes a nation. Now, I make these statements, but boy, I want you to get that. Don't let this, has your mind already wandered? Amen. Young people, are you with me? Watch this. Proverbs 14, verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but a sin is a reproach to any people. Say, preacher, how come we are seeing the demise of a Christian nation? And you are. You're watching literally the death throes of a Christian nation. How in the world did we get to this place? Well, you say, is it the nation's fault? Well, let's back it up. Folks, listen to me. As the church goes, so goes the nation. As the church goes, so goes. The Bible says judgment must begin at the house of God. How about this? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Listen, folks, as the church goes, so goes the nation. As the church has become more anemic and weakened and, you know what, more worldly and less concerned and more calloused and more selfish, you know what? We have watched then the nation begin to follow the same path, and we watch this. Come on, we got to say this. The church has helped to contribute to this mess. I'm against homosexuality too, but the homosexuals aren't running America. You know, if the homosexuals can round up 300 Indiana clergy that will walk up to the state house and say, we're for homosexuality, then you know what? It's not just a problem of morals. It's a problem of the church. It's a problem of the church. But preacher, then how did the church get where it's at? Well, let me tell you this, folks. Listen to me. The devil is going to attack the basic unit of civilization, and that unit is the family. And so what we want to do is encourage our families to strengthen our church, but also to encourage our church to strengthen our families, because I believe that it's to the advantage of every family to have a strong church, and it's to the advantage of every church to have strong families. I want to talk to you about two of the seven cords that I'd mentioned just a little bit. I want to talk to you about these two subjects. Number one, the church is comprised of the threefold cord of the family. Let's talk about that. Number two, the church is strengthened by the threefold cord of maturation or generations. I'm going to talk to you about both of these things. Our families are important here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And every family is important here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Say, preacher, if the devil's going to destroy this church, how's he going to do it? He's going to do it by attacking the individual family units. The individual family units. And so you have to understand that. By the way, you have to expect that. Not just understand it, you have to expect it. Because that's how the devil works. Now, let me just say this, and I understand that there's different families in our church that are comprised of in different ways. But I want to just say this and see if I can help you here. Let's not ever get away from God's definition of a family unit. God has a very specific definition of a family unit. God's family unit is made up of a man and his wife and the children God blesses them with. It's not a man and a man trying to adopt somebody else's children, or a woman and a woman trying to have children through some other means and then raise those children. It is made up of a man, his wife, and the children God blesses them with. This is God's definition of the family. This is God's design. A strong church must have strong families. Now, I'm not trying to discourage anybody that doesn't have that family unit, but what I am saying is those of you that do have it, protect it. And you young people that are here, you set that as the goal of your life to one day have a Christian family. And make sure that you do things right so that you can have a strong Christian family. Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And that was God's design from the beginning in Genesis 2 when Eve was created and brought to Adam, that there would be the beginnings of a family unit. And every time a young man takes a wife, leaves mom and dad, starts a new family unit, that unit is a part of what gives strength to the church and what gives strength to our society. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. And when God says he'll judge somebody, you can count on him judging somebody. Remember this, marriage is honorable in all. And so God intends for a man to get married to this woman. And God intends them then to be blessed within the bounds of marriage with children and then have this wonderful thing called a family unit. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And so we see that God didn't just define marriage as a man and his wife and the children God blesses them with, but he gives each member of that family very specific scripturally defined role and responsibility. Husbands, you are to lead your family. Wives, you are to allow them and encourage them to lead the family. From time to time, wives, you're going to not agree with the decision that your husband makes. The Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And so husbands, you need to lead in a scriptural way, and wives, you need to follow that leadership. But let me say this to the men. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I read this verse and I see it on a regular basis, and it's meant a lot. It just seems like it comes back to my mind a lot lately. But here's the verse in Proverbs. Love covereth a multitude of sins. Let me just say this. Listen, husbands, just love your wives. Come on, love your wives. And wives, love your husbands. I mean silly stuff. I mean giddy stuff. I mean go back and have another honeymoon. I mean just come on now. Just fall in love. And just decide you're going to stay in love. And treat each other in a loving manner according to the description of love that's outlined in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Now just stay in love with each other. Don't let the devil drive a wedge between you and your spouse. And then, of course, the blessings of God upon a married couple. He blesses them with children. Psalms 127, verse 3 through 5. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. I think this culture's tried to redefine a family and tried to convince our young couples that, you know what, this is the way the world handles having children, and this is the time you're supposed to have them, and this is the way you're supposed to have them, this is how many you're supposed to have. Listen, let's let the Word of God dictate these decisions in our life. And listen to me, you are blessed if you have children. They're an heritage of the Lord. Every child born is a blessing. They're not a burden. Don't look at children as a burden. They're a blessing. They're the heritage of the Lord. Now, all of a sudden, the husband, a young man, meets a young lady, and you know what? They go through the courtship process, and they're blessed, and they have a marriage, and they love each other, and then children start coming along, and now you have this family union, and God continues to add to it, and what a wonderful thing. This is the building block of society. This is the building block of church, the church house. This unit needs to be supported and strengthened. The marriages need to be protected. The children need to be encouraged. And everybody, watch this, everybody needs to be obedient in your role in the family unit. And so one of the ways you can keep your church strong is to grow up. Young people, let me just say this to you. Listen, please, I want you to listen to me. Well, preacher, you know what? I'm just going to go find whoever. And I've already, there's some of you, I love you to death, but I'm scared to death for you. If you don't turn some things over to the Lord, and I'm talking about good young men and good young ladies that I love like I love my own children. But if you don't accept some things at the Bible, if you don't stop fighting against some of the basic principles of the Bible, if you don't lose some stubbornness and rebellion towards just basic teachings of the Bible, I can't tell you what a disaster is waiting for you. There is no way when it comes to family, and no way when it comes to something as sacred to marriage, that you're going to chuck all the Bible principles, storm out of here, and do it your way, and not end up in heartbreak and disaster down the road. Now write it down. Open your Bible, write this date down, write what the preacher just said, and come see me in 10 years and let's talk about that statement. But I'm pleading with you. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do this. I'll tell you what I think in the heart of every young person, somewhere in the heart of every young person, whether you talk about it or not, is one day you dream of being happily married. Now God is love. Okay? God is love. Watch this. Let me make another statement. You know what? If you pursue a relationship that excludes God, you pursue a loveless relationship. Sorry, Brother Val. A loveless relationship. I didn't know how else to say it, brother. Amen. The loveless is, I think they're in love. I've dug myself a hole I'm never going to get out of now, but... Come on, you don't want to end up like that. Listen to me. Woo, let me get out and try to climb out of here. But I want you to think what I just said. If God is love, and that's what this book says, and you pursue a relationship that excludes God, you know what you're going to end up? You can dress it up any way you want to and pretend it's everything, but I'm going to tell you what you're going to end up in. You're going to end up in a loveless relationship because you can't exclude God in a relationship and then expect there to be the anointing of an agape love in that relationship. So please hear what your preacher said. I believe in the heart of every young person is a secret desire. I believe that God put you in it when he made you, that down to the depths of your heart, no matter how confused you may be at times and how befuddled you are, you know what? Inside in the depths of your heart, you do want to one of these days end up in a good marriage. And if you don't, you're crazy. Because you don't know how bad a bad marriage can be. You want to end up in a good marriage. You know what? You want to be blessed with kids. You want to, you know what, guys? I don't care how old you are. And if, you know, even the age where, you know, I don't mind so much that the guys stay and the girls have cootie age. You know, keep them there as long as you can keep them there, all right? It helps us around here. But sooner or later, you know what? You're going to start noticing there's something called a girl running around here. And there's something inside of you that God has put. And you know what? You're going to begin. Listen, every young man, I mean, even the ones that don't act like they care right now, every one young man in the depths of his heart says, you know what? One of these days, I'd like to be able to come home from work to a good wife that loves me and takes care of me and that I can love and take care of. And man, I'd like to come to the door one of these days and hear daddy, 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 and here comes the kids. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Don't you rob yourself of that because you decide you want to be stupid. Don't you rob yourself of that because you're going to go out and do it your way and lose God's opportunity. Don't do it. I'm talking to our young people. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. But adults, I have to warn our young people. All right? This is for their benefit. The preacher has to say some things, okay? I can't tiptoe around it because there's unfortunate things that have happened. I'm sorry. I wish I could undo them. I can't. But these kids have their life ahead of them. Okay, they need to hear the preacher say something. You know what God's intent was? Is for Tristan Sagercy. Now look at this guy. It's amazing. Tristan Sagercy, one of these days, grow up and you find some little girl that makes your heart go pitter-patter. And you marry that girl. and you establish a wonderful family and a good Christian family, and you have you 15, 20 kids, all right? Amen? Amen? Come on. I'm all right, you know. No, they don't want you, you know, not now, but sometime down the road, all right? And bring all them kids and drop them off at Grandma and Grandpa's and leave for 4 or 5 days and then come back and pick them. I mean, listen, that's God's intent. That's His. It's not just a dream that you have in your heart. It's the dream He has in heaven for you. And it's a wonderful thing, just a wonderful thing. There isn't anything better than family. I'm going to tell you, listen, folks, marriage can be a little taste of heaven on earth. And the family, I'm going to tell you something. I've always felt this way. You know, no matter what crazy thing I got to face throughout whatever day, in the hardest days of my life, if I could walk in the door at the end of the day and hug my wife and hug my kids, you know what? It's okay. It's all right. And you're not going to understand it till you get on up in years, but I'm going to tell you something. You can say, well, this will make me happy and that will make me happy. If I only had this, I make this money. If I drive this truck, if I own this. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to find out that what really brings happiness and is a great source of happiness is just having and being blessed with a God-ordained, God-sanctioned family that's just baptized in the Holy Spirit of God and got Jesus all over it. I'm just telling you, you're not going to find anything in the world to replace that. And so I want to put that into your heart. Now, the devil knows this, and he's always going to try to prevent you, young people, from having that. And those of you that do have it, he's going to work tirelessly to try to destroy it. I can't preach on all of these, but I'll mention them. There are many ways Satan's trying to destroy the family unit. He's trying to destroy it, young people. Listen, I'm not going to get specific, but you know what? Parents, I want to help parents, and you're going to have to use your judgment, and I bow to your judgment. But you know what? Dads, don't tiptoe around this thing. There's times you and the boy need to take a walk and have a plain spoken man talk. Okay, dads, you're going to embarrass the little girl to death, but you need to take her for a walk every once in a while and have a plain daddy girl talk. Now listen to me. Mamas, you need to sit down with your daughters and tell them the truth about some things, because the world's trying to feed them a big lie right now. And you need to have a shotgun straight talk with them from time to time. And I got teenagers right now saying, oh, God, please, no. Preacher, don't tell them to do that. Just go ahead and do it. They'll get over it, all right? They'll be fine. But I'm going to tell you something. They need somebody that loves them to help them, because the devil's lie. He's a liar. He's a liar. But you know what's keeping a lot of young people from ever having what I'm talking about here? Fornication. And I can't talk as plain as mom and dads. You need to talk to your kids. But I'm going to tell you something. If you do what the world's telling you to do before you get married, and you want to try to take that path and think that that road leads to happiness, you have no idea. You have no idea. And you have no idea what it's going to cost you long term. And I can say it, but you're the ones that's going to have to face down the temptation one of these days. You're going to look it in the eye. It finds good kids. Okay, I mean the most sheltered, protected kids in here. You know what? The devil will find some way to run an end around. And you're going to have to face it one of these days. You're going to have to face it yourself. You're going to have to say no to yourself. You know, some enticer, some predator is going to get to you somehow. I'm sorry, there's too much technology, folks. I don't know how in the world you build high enough walls or strong enough walls. I mean, we do our best, parents, but I'm telling you, kids, it's going to come down to your decision one of these days on this. And I pray that you do the right thing. Adultery, God's word commands, fornication, God's word commands young people to be morally pure until they're married. You say, preacher, this is just basic stuff. We need basic stuff. We need basic stuff. Adultery, God's word commands married couples to be true to each other for life. For life. Now listen to me, there's not a Christian marriage in here that the devil doesn't have in the crosshairs. Man, I never know who I'm talking about, and I don't know what you're dealing with. I guarantee you this, I know this. The devil's going to make a play for your marriage. He's going to try to destroy your marriage. He's going to bring some little hussy into your life. And it's usually, the timing of it is when you and mama's not getting along real well. Now you better listen to me. I know how he works, and you better use your good sense. You better understand what you have is better than anything else that the devil's out there waving in front of you. The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. That's because it's growing over the septic tank. You're going to find out why it's greener. Are you listening? Now listen to me. Don't let the devil fool you. You know, I thought about this, so, and I think there's men, we need to just spend time encouraging each other, so I'm going to encourage you for a minute. But I'm going to tell you something. There ain't nothing in the world worth throwing away what you have. And there ain't no such thing as a secret that's kept for very long. I think the dumbest thing in the world is guys that really think they're going to start an affair and it's never going to be found out. You're a ding-dong. You're a ding-dong. Now listen to me. I don't care how the devil tries to convince you that somehow you can do this and you can still maintain what you have and there's no long-term consequences. Talk to King David about that. See what it cost him. Say, preacher, man, thank God for Psalms 51. And thank God for Psalms 51. Glory to God. But you track David's life before Bathsheba and write down the blessings. And you track David's life after Bathsheba and write down the curse that followed him to his grave. What I'm saying is this, folks, listen to me. There's some laws of God that you just better not break. And you stay true to your wife. And wives, listen to me, it's not just men that are being tempted. You know what? A wedding ring on a lady's hand used to mean stay away and keep away and hands off. And you know what it is now to this wicked world and these evil men that are out there? It's a dare. It's a challenge. And there's not a young lady, a wife out here that, I don't care what age you are. Listen, this sin just don't happen to young wives in their 20s and their 30s. And sooner or later, the devil's going to bring somebody to put a temptation. And what I'm saying is this. I'm just sounding the trumpet. I'm telling you what you already know is true down in your heart. Those vows you took are sacred vows. You said, keep thee only unto her as long as you both shall live. It's a lifelong commitment, one to the other. So you listen. Watch this, folks. Listen. You protect that thing. And you live out your vows, okay? Divorce, God's word commands married couples to remain together for life. And homosexuality, God's word clearly defines. Can you believe we're fighting this battle? God's word clearly defines marriage as one man, one woman for life. And how is he attacking and trying to break the threefold cord of the family? By redefining it, the very makeup of it. Role reversal. Husbands taking on the role of a wife. Wife taking on the role of a husband. We're in an upside down, gender blended, gender confused culture. Rebellion. Listen to me, young people. Children rising up against the authority of their parents. Mankind cannot improve on God's plan. Perverting God's sacred design for the family comes with huge consequences. Among them is the destruction of the church. Among them is the destruction of the church. Say, preacher, why are you working so hard to reach out to the families and to help you young people to make sure you end up in a good situation? Because it's not just your life you're destroying. It's the church of Jesus Christ that pays the consequences. Okay? This is how he destroys the church. This is how he destroys the nation. Follow God's plan. Watch this. Here's God's plan. How do you summarize it? This is it. Husbands, here's God's plan. Husbands, loving and laboring and leading. Wives, submitting, supporting, and serving. Children, listening, learning, obeying, and growing. And grow to the day where, you know what? You'll have an opportunity to have your own family. What a wonderful thing it is. Now, I want to talk to you about something else, and we'll take just a few minutes on this second point. The church is comprised of the threefold cord of the family. But let me tell you something else that strengthens the church. The church is strengthened by the threefold cord of maturation or generation. The Bible teaches us that God recognizes three phases of maturation. I'm going to have you go to Titus chapter 2. Let's go over to Titus chapter 2. I could read these, but I think it'd be good for you to take a look at them and ponder them. In Titus chapter number 2, we'll read the first six verses, but this is something your pastor's taught you in the past, but I want to teach it again. Sometimes I forget how long it's been since I've said some things, and these are the type of things that need to be brought on a regular basis before the church, retaught as people are in different phases of their life, and get this thing nailed down in your thinking. The Bible teaches us that God recognizes three phases of maturation or maturing. We are children, then young men and young women, then aged men and aged women. And we see these three groups mentioned in Titus chapter 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men or aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity, in patience, the aged women. So we have aged men and aged women. Likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing forth a pattern of good works, and doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say unto you. Now, I read this portion of Scripture, and of course, it's filled with instruction, much more than we could tackle tonight with the time we have left. But I want to draw out one great principle. Notice how God looks at the maturation process. There's three phases in God's mind as far as how we mature, how we grow. We are children, then we're young men and young women, and then we are aged men and aged women. Those are the only things that God recognizes. I often say that mankind, this culture, has added two additional phases of maturation. We say that they're children, then they're teenagers, and then they're young men and young ladies, and then they're middle-aged people, and then they're aged people. I think middle age was created just out of our own vanity because we don't really want to be called aged. And you say, preacher, at what age does a man go from being a young man to an aged man? There is a definite age for men that happens. However, I will never tell you the age that happens to women, all right? I'm just not willing to risk that. And so, but we do go through a process of growing up. Teenage, the whole idea of being a child, being a teenager, and then being a young man is the culture's attempt to create this maturation phase that God, listen, does not recognize. One of the things that we have to remember is this: you get to be a child, and then you, after that, step into young manhood. We teach this around here. I mean, it's incorporated in the fiber of the philosophy of everything that we do around here. There's a reason that when you get to be fifth graders, young people, that you begin to walk into a class, if you're a young man, where a man is teaching you. Why is that? Because I believe that Jesus, by that story of him being 12 years old, I believe it's there on purpose. I believe it's there to establish a principle. I think that a child has a childhood from when they're born until they're turned 12 years of age. And then I think when a young man turns 12 years of age, it doesn't mean overnight he becomes a man. But we begin to treat him less like a child and more like a young man, and we begin to give him young man responsibilities. And by the way, watch this: as they continue to grow and prove themselves, with young man responsibilities ought to come young man privileges. Parents, are you listening to me? Okay, well, I want to be treated like an adult. And what's your parents say? But then you need to act like an adult. And folks, listen to me, privileges come when you fulfill your responsibility, but when responsibilities are fulfilled, privileges ought to follow. I'm kind of going to bat for these kids, okay? Listen, you know, no 16-year-old wants to be treated like a child. No 14-year-old wants to be treated like a child. But if you don't want to be, then don't act like one. So I'm helping mom and dad here, but I'm hoping I'm helping y'all too. As you step up and begin to show some responsibility, parents, you know what? You're preparing them to be launched one of these days, okay? You're preparing them for real life. And during that 12 years until they're married, that's the time you have to teach them and train them to be successful young men and successful young ladies. And so that's what God views here. You're a child till you're 12, then you become a young man or a young lady. And when I said this the other day, a guy was talking to me about it, and it was during the spiritual warfare conference. And when I say, young men, I want you to know this. When I say, I'd like the men to come up and pray. If you're 12, I want you to come. If you're 13, I want you to come. If you're 14, I want you to come. I just ask for the men. I want you to get used to responding to that. Okay? I'm listening. That's how I view you. I don't view these guys up here as little kids. I view them as young men. And I try to treat them with young men. I try to treat them respectfully as a young man would want to be treated. You know, listen, church, to me. We're not here to beat them down. We're here to raise them up. You raise up people. You don't beat down people. Now, I treat these young ladies like young ladies. You know, that's what they are to me. The Bible says you were to treat them as sisters with all purity. And that's how you're supposed to treat the young ladies around here. Anybody doesn't treat them around here, they're going to have me to mess with. If I can get past daddy, who'll probably have you dead before I can get to you, amen? But that's the way we're supposed to treat people, all right? And so that's what God recognizes. Now watch this. This is what I want to give you. How is the church strengthened by this? You know what? The church needs all three of these groups. If you're going to have a healthy church, you need all three of these. There is a strength that comes in a church just by having children and young men and young ladies and aged men and aged ladies. Brother Smith was talking to me on the way to the airport, and he said, I scanned your congregation. Let me tell you whether you probably know it, preacher, but let me tell you where you're blessed. He said, you got a good, strong group of older folks, but you also have a good, strong group of young couples and young families, but you also have children running everywhere. And he said, I'm going to tell you something, brother. That's a blessing. Now, you can help me with this. You think through it as I'm talking, okay? But you know what? Every one of those are important. Every one of those group brings something. I mean, can you imagine a church without children? Honestly, I couldn't imagine a church without children. I mean, children bring a joy. Children bring a delight. Children bring an innocence. Children bring and nurture in all of us a protective spirit. And you know what? They help keep us young. I mean, the kids around here, they keep me in stitches all the time. I never know what they're going to say. I don't know ever what they're going to do. I love it when they embarrass their parents half to death. It's just fantastic, you know. And parents look at me like, oh, my goodness sake, where'd that come from? And I can't believe he just walked up and said that to the preacher. And I love it. You know what they're doing? They're just being kids. I mean, they'll say the craziest things. They'll do the craziest things. And the other night, we were in chapel the other day. And chapel has really gotten out of hand. I'm going to have to rein it in or do something. But you might want to come to, should I invite them all to chapel this Wednesday, young people? Should I invite everybody to chapel? No, I'm getting no's everywhere. Okay. But I think I might. Let me pray about that a minute, all right? But a couple weeks ago, I walked out to chapel to do the quiz. And I looked around. I said, where's Brother McIntyre? And Brother Reiser looked confused. And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, Brother McIntyre, he's preaching. Where's he at? Did he call you? He said, no, he's on the schedule for next week. I said, oh, okay. I thought he was going to be here this week. So I started asking the questions. All of a sudden, I said, well, who's on the schedule for this week? And he said, you are. I said, glory to God. I mean, you say, preacher, yeah, I know. I'm losing my mind. I don't know. Praise the Lord. Okay, good. This is going to be a great chapel, you know. So I'm trying to think of ways to stall. So I say out of my, you know, I'm just trying to think of some way to stall. So I'm taking time on my questions. And while I'm asking questions, I'm flipping through the Bible saying, God, there's got to be something in here, you know, that I can preach. And so I say something that I expect no response to. I say, you know what? We'll do something after this. We'll sing a bunch of songs, or maybe we can have the kids get put on a skit. And all of the elementary kids start jumping up and down and screaming, yes, yes, let us put on a skit. Let us put on a skit. And I'm thinking, what are they doing? And I said, do you have a skit? And they're like, yes, we have a skit. And I said, you have a skit ready. I mean, right now, yeah, you tell me you've been practicing a skit. We got a skit. We've been practicing a skit. Let us do it. Let us do it. And I'm thinking, so I look at Mrs. King, because Mrs. King knows what's going on in her class, you know. And I said, Mrs. King, do they have a skit? And she said, I don't know. First thing I've heard of it. And then I'm torn. I'm thinking, do I risk this? And I finally just say, well, he'll buy me some time to find a message. So I mean, whatever it takes, you know. So I said, okay, I'm going to let you do a skit. We'll sing three or four songs, and we got to go get our props. I said, you have props? Yeah, we have to go get our props. I thought they're making the whole thing up. They weren't. Mrs. Millen back there, the day she works, in order to give them something to do. Did I say Mrs. Millen? sorry. I'm so sorry. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Come on. Amen. Amen. I don't have all timers, but I have some timers. And so Mrs. Hall, who used to be Miss Millen, got it, man. All right. Has been taking him on break and decided instead of just letting him go crazy, she'd do something. So she's been practicing with him some crazy skit. So they go running out. And they put on the story of Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark. And it was crazy. And all the kids, you know, somebody's playing Noah and somebody's standing there holding up pictures and telling the next thing. And all the kids are acting like animals coming by twos and they're crawling around on the floor. And then when the Lord shuts the door, they all become the people that are left out and they're beating on the pulpit saying, "Let me in." And in fact, we videotape it and it's so good that this Friday it's coming out in theaters. Noah, a story of, yeah, that's how good it was. Noah, that's what it is. It's the skit that we put on in. No, it's not. It's not. That's something different. But listen to me. Listen, I wouldn't trade that for anything in the world. Thank God for the children of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Hey, kids, we need you. And God needs you. Listen, you're not second rate. You're important. You know, when Jesus was asked, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He didn't find some old 52-year-old preacher and bring him up there. He brought a child. The Bible says a little child. Set him in the midst of him. And he wanted everybody to know, you know what? Let's keep our eyes focused on this generation. Let's pour our lives into the kids. Let's understand they're our future. They're our hope. And we need the kids here at Blessed Hope Baptist. Hey, listen, I know as long as we truck bus kids in here, I'm going to have to wind this thing up. I'm falling apart up here. As long as we truck them in here, you say bus them. No, Brother Abel trucks them in. But as long as we truck them in here, where there's no oxen, the stall's clean, but where there's oxen, come on, you farmers, if you're going to have cows, you're going to have to clean out a barn from time to time, and you're going to have a mess and something broke every once in a while because you know what? That's what you have. And you know what? Go ahead. I don't want kids to just destroy things, but you know what? Things are going to happen when you bring, hey, you know what? We'll paint the walls every once in a while. Let's just keep bussing the kids in. And we'll clean up something in the bathroom when the toilet overflows. Hey, let's just bring them on in. Let's just do whatever we got to do because, listen, folks, God's going to smile his blessings on a church that loves children and wants to reach children. And so praise God for that. Now, you young, let me just quickly give it to you. You know what? Children, they're a blessing. They're our heritage. They're the heritage of the Lord. They're our future. And this church needs them. But you know what? Young couples and young adults and teenagers, let me tell you something. I do. I look at you from time you're 12 to about time you're 30. I don't look at teenagers and young adults. I look at that as young men and young ladies. I'm going to tell you something. You think about that age group from 12 to 30 and what an important, important, important group that is here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I mean, we need you. And pray for these young families. And by the way, so exciting to watch. God bless their lives. Watch these kids grow up. We've got several weddings we're going to get to witness here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church or our kids being married at least off out of here. What a blessing that is. It's just fun to watch young people grow up and find the will of God. And we're rooting for you. I mean that. Young people, we are rooting for you. I promise you. I bombard the throne of grace with your names. And I'm going to tell you, I'm a pretty positive person. I just am. You know what? I'm not Pentecostal, but I believe in naming it and claiming it. And I believe, you know what? There's some things you take before the Lord and you just claim. And there's not a one of you that don't get held up to the throne of grace. And you know what? Hey, you know, preacher, I'm far from perfect. Well, you're listening to a preacher that when he was a teenager was far from perfect too. But I'm going to tell you something. God's hand's on our young people. And he's got a great future for you. He's got a great life for you. And we're rooting for you. Your whole church is rooting for you. And then to watch you young couples and man alive, I get it. I remember those days. And you know what? You're having children and you're trying to build the foundations of a life. And guys, you're scrambling and working like maniacs. And it takes so much just to pay bills and make it. And yet, you're doing that, and you're taking care of your wives, and you're taking care of your families, and you're being responsible, and you young wives are chasing children in five different directions, and you know what? I know these are years that are, I mean, they just take energy and time, and sometimes you wonder, is there going to be more money than month or more month than money, and I get all those things. And, you know, as preacher, we're, even from time to time, we struggle a little bit. Can I say this? Good, 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 good. I mean it. That's gonna grow you together. If it was all easy, you know what? It wouldn't put in you what you need in you. Just listen. Don't fight with each other. Face the world. Lock arm in arm and fight together. And fight through things and support each other and make it. And you're, come on, I'm going to be honest with you. Those first 5 years of marriage can be tough sometimes. You say, preacher, what's the reward of staying together is, you know what? The next 5 years. And the next 5 years. And the next, I mean that. Brother Joe said something to me. It was the funniest thing I ever heard anybody say. He said one time when we were golfing, he said, you know what? For the first 5 years of me and Connie's marriage, we didn't really like each other. Did you tell me that? I was in the middle of a backswing. I about dropped my club. Now, you laugh, but if you're honest, come on now. There's times you're not sure that you love them. You sure don't like them. But you know what you do? You work through it. Amen. Now, husbands, listen to me. You young husbands, you listen to me. You listen to your wives. You listen to her concerns. All right? She don't need lecture. She don't need to be treated like a child. If she's upset and she's having some problems and she struggles with some things, you'd sit down and listen to her. And by the way, wives, if you've got a husband that'll do that, don't take that opportunity to think that your job is to dictate to him, but entreat him. And husbands, listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. I've always tried to say this. You know what? I want to make every decision in my life and put first God. I want, you know, nobody has a right to ask for that spot but God. I need to put God first in everything. But I'm going to tell you something right underneath God. I want to take care of my wife and kids, and I want to listen to my wife. And if there's something that's a real concern to her, something that is a desire that she has, and I don't have to circumvent the will of God or break the will of God to do it, you know what? I'm going to do it for my wife. Because that's how you tell her you love her. Okay? Now, when a young man gives that kind of power to you, young ladies, don't you abuse it. Don't you abuse it. Okay? Most of you wives are blessed to have a husband that's just madly in love with you. And if you want something, they're going to figure out a way to get it, sometimes to their own demise, sometimes even unwisely. So be careful. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what? Spoil your wife. Spoil her. I used to tell the girls growing up, I'm going to tell you what, there's one queen here, and that's mama. And you girls just get it in your mind. If it's a choice between you being happy and her being happy, guess who's going to be happy? Because y'all are going to grow up, and you're going to take off one of these days. But me and hers, we're in this for the long haul. All right? Take care of each other and love each other and listen to each other and support each other. And just do it. I mean, just hang in there together. And then let me say this in closing. Folks, listen to me. You aged Christians are a blessing to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I mean that from the depths of my heart. I'm going to do the Senior Saints Meal again. And I've loved that. I'll probably do it forever. Because I love spending time with that age group. We need you. This church needs you. And it's not a matter of you feeling. You know what we just need? We just need to see you walk in the door. It's just a blessing to watch that age group just walk through the door. We just thank you for your faithfulness. Man, getting old's not for sissies. It's hard. I mean, you talk to the older couples. They say, what are you doing this week? And they say, let's see, Tuesday we got to go to a doctor and Thursday we got to go to a doctor. And I always joke and say, if you sneak up behind older folks in the foyer, they're only talking about two things. Their ailments or their restaurants that they go to, you know. That's what's left. Going to the doctor or going to a restaurant, that's pretty much it. And I've had some fun, but let me say with all the sincerity of my heart, There's something about you just walking in the door and sitting here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. The hoary head is a crown. And the kings and the queens of Blessed Oak Baptist Church, the royalty here, are these aged families, these aged blessed Christians. And you know what, folks? Watch this. They've faced the battles of life. And they've faced the discouragements of life. And they've walked through plenty of valleys. And they've also enjoyed some mountaintops. And you know what? They've had many opportunities, if they wanted to quit on God. But you know what? Here they come in the door, Blessed Oak Baptist Church. And it just is a challenge to me as a preacher to stay faithful, just watching the group ahead of me and saying, there's some people, right? I promise you, this is true. There's some of our senior saints that's right now sitting in this sermon, and they're hurting so bad from just sitting for the time that we've been here. They're hurting. But you know what? They're here. Because they settled a long time ago. You know what? I want to be the right kind of example to y'all. Now, kids, let me just plead with you. If you let young people your age have more influence on you than wise, older adults that have proven themselves by their faithfulness through not years but decades, you're out of your mind. If you let some kid your age or a little older talk you out of living for God, listen, if you're going to, before you decide you're going to listen to that, you know, young man or young lady that has such a vast lifetime of experience, you know, why don't you young ladies go back and sit by my mom there, or Mrs. Ali, or go back and sit by, I'm trying not to see who I don't offend, you know, sit by Sister Jean Mowry back there, okay? Go sit back by Sister Nancy and talk to her about the blessings of being in the same Sunday school teacher in the same class for 30 plus years. Come on, folks. What I'm saying is this. Why in the world would you let somebody who's proved nothing with their life give you advice about life when you have in your church family at your disposal people that have fought the battles and paid the price and received the blessings of God upon their life and can give you more wisdom in 10 seconds than that joker can in 2 hours. I'd like to see more of our young people spend some time going by and sitting with our widow ladies and our older couples. Honestly, how neat would it be if we had a 16 or 17-year-old boy just stop after church and grab one of our older couples and say, watch this, could I take you two out to eat this week? Okay, you're getting ready to make some of the biggest decisions of your life. Well, do you think maybe you could just give Don and Jean an hour? You think you could give Charles and Donna an hour? Think you maybe give Mrs. Ali just an hour before you make the biggest decisions of your life? Or is, you know, some 21-year-old on Facebook, what they have to say more important to you? Now, what I'm saying is this. God knew what he was doing when he put this thing together. And he said, church, there's something that will make a church strong. Protect that family unit, but also understand that every generation is important. We got to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for these wonderful truths. May we, Lord, understand the blessings and be thankful for every single part of what makes up this wonderful local assembly. Help us to just love Blessed Oak Baptist. Just learn to look around and fall in love with it and realize that every person here is a gift and everybody's got something to offer. And what a great resource we have here. What a blessed church we are. Lord, I pray for our families. I pray your protection upon them, dear God. I pray, Lord, for Blessed Oak Baptist Church. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us to remain a church, dear God, that's dedicated to your design and your will. And Lord, we're more interested in what the Bible has to say about how things ought to be than this mixed up, upside down culture. Lord, I pray that you'd help us protect our young people. Watch over our young couples, protect their marriages. Be with our folks as they age. And dear God, every, it seems like, phase of life brings its own unique challenges. And so, Lord, be with that senior saint that's maybe been going through a time of discouragement or depression. Or, Lord, I know the physical challenges sometimes are something that there's no way we can understand until we're there. just come alongside them and love them and help us, dear God, not to waste the opportunity to glean from their wisdom. We pray in Jesus' name.